Well, do please be seated. And again, you'll find the reading 3 John on page 240 near the back of the church Bible. You might find it helpful to look that up. Well, as you sit here in a nice warm church, spare a thought this morning for our poor local gym owners. Just a month ago, they were as popular as Jacob Rees-Mogg. Everyone wanted their advice. They wanted to sign up to their programs, wanted to be around them. That's no longer the case. Now, just a month later, they're as unpopular as Theresa May, alone and friendless, facing an impossible task no one else wants, walking alone around a huge, old, crumbling, asbestos-filled centre, looking for anyone who might show an interest. But they've all gone. They've all gone. This, of course, is the month where New Year health and fitness resolutions evaporate like the last dregs of leftover mulled wine after Christmas. This is the month where January's militant vegans quietly buy cheese and chicken breasts to put in the fridge. And we're all so pleased that they do. This is the month where those post-Christmas passions to get more involved with your local church here, to read the Bible, spend time in prayer, and visit neighbours in need, fade away too. This is a time of year when it's really hard to press on with what you know is right and good for you. Blue Monday was a few weeks ago, wasn't it? But it's still such a depressing time of year. The weather is rubbish. It's so dark. Last week we've had a mental health awareness week, time to talk. It's a reminder that so many people are suffering around us and that their problems have no easy answers to them. It's hard to be motivated. If you want to follow Jesus, it's hard to be committed with that. It's hard to visit people who need it. It's hard to be disciplined about prayer and Bible reading at such a depressing time of year. It's hard to be excited about inviting people to stuff at church because there aren't any exciting things going on like there were at Christmas. Well, if that is you, you need some motivation, you need some encouragement. 3 John is just for you. 3 John has got a message you need to hear. It's a letter written by John to his friend Gaius, who was probably in some sort of leadership of a local church. This is John, the disciple of Jesus, who wrote John's Gospel, the great eyewitness account of the life of Jesus. And here he is, a personal letter encouraging a friend to keep on going and to get it right. It's a letter of encouragement. It was encouraging for Gaius. I hope it'll be encouraging for you as well. Its message is so simple. It says, keep it up. Don't flounder. Or in the words of a great church member here who's sadly visiting family today, its message is this: crack on. Crack on. Diana's not here, sadly, but that's her catchphrase, isn't it? Crack on, says 3 John. Stop dilly-dallying. Stop shilly-shallying, or whatever that is. Just keep on going. That's the message. And there are three little top tips that 3 John gives us to help us with doing that, to help us crack on and keep going when it seems hard to be motivated as a disciple of Jesus. Three top tips. One is stick to the roots. Another is join the team. And another is find someone to learn from. Three top tips. Stick to the root, join the team, and find someone to learn from. Firstly then, let's stick to the root. What is it that John is so impressed with Gaius about? Well, you can see that from verse 2 onwards. Do you look down with me? It says, Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, just as it is well with your soul. I was overjoyed when some of the friends arrived and testified to your faithfulness to the truth, namely, how you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. John says to Gaius, it's wonderful to hear how faithful you are to the message of truth, the message about Jesus Christ. Stick with it. Stick to the roots. what being faithful is all about, isn't it? It's sticking with things, even if it's hard. Faithful in marriage is sticking with your marriage, even when times of temptation come. Being faithful to God is sticking with him, even when life is tough. Even when motivation is at an all-time low, stick to the roots. It's the journey. It's the kind of basic metaphor in the Bible for the Christian life. We're all on a journey following Jesus Christ if we're Christians, walking in a way lit up for us by the word of God, to use another image borrowed from the Psalms. Well, if you're a Christian like Gaius, you've chosen the right path in following Jesus Christ, in believing the message of Jesus. You've chosen the right path. It's the way that leads to life. Life in all its fullness, a life we could never find in anything else this world has to offer. It's a life where we're adopted as children of God, perfect in his eyes, not because of anything that we've done, but entirely because of something that God has done for us in sending his son Jesus Christ to die upon the cross in our place. That's the path of being a Christian, living with Jesus as our king, as our ruler, as our guide, the one we want to be obedient to. That's the way of life. And if you've chosen it like Gaius, you're on the right path. Don't be tempted to steer away from it. Don't be tempted to find a new route. Continue to walk in it, says John. Stick to the route. I don't know if you can remember your first ever walk in the New Forest. I can remember mine. It was 5-6 years ago or something when we just moved here. Thought we'd move to this spectacular place. We're surrounded by boxes and all of our unpacking. Let's go and find a nice walk to do. So we parked the car at Burbush car park and set off down the old railway line. Straightforward, isn't it? Go for a walk on there, you're never going to get lost. That was a bit boring for me. I could see a little path going up the hill onto Holmesley Ridge, if you know it. No, well, let's do that. It looks like quite an authentic, good sort of path. That's going to go somewhere good. Let's follow it. Now, of course, if you know the New Forest, if you're familiar, as I'm sure you all are, with walking in the forest, just because something looks like a path doesn't mean it's actually a path. And you start walking, it looks really convincing, and eventually it kind of just disappears. And just turns out it was a route that some horses like to walk, and then they go their separate ways. And there you are, all of a sudden, stuck in a load of heather and gorse. No problem to me, I thought. I often think I've got a marvellous sense of direction. I'm the kind of person who, you know, when you watch SAS Who Dares Wins, that terrible programme where they take members of the public and put them through the SAS training routine, I watch all that and think, I could easily do that. So they have to roll a tractor tyre up a mountainside and look at that and think, well, that's not how I would do it. Or is there being shouted at for an hour in a sort of torture routine? I think I'd be fine with that. And so getting lost on a walk was no problem to me, I thought. But as the sun started to dip below the horizon, and Kelly got less and less impressed with me, I had to admit that I was completely lost. Eventually we found our way back down to the car with lots of scratched and very sad children. Stick to the roots, says John. The main reason why we might be tempted to step away from the roots is because we think we can see something better, something more exciting. But sticking with the root is the way to go, because it's the way that leads to life. I have no greater joy than this, says John, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So you and I, let's stick to the root. Let's keep on walking in the way of Jesus, the way of truth. That's top tip number one. Top tip number two from John, if we want to crack on and keep going in the Christian life, is to join the team. Don't try and do it alone. Be part of the team. What is it that Gaius has done to show that he's walking in the truth and that John's really excited about? Well, we discover that in the next paragraph, verse 5 downwards. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the friends. Even though they're strangers to you, they've testified to your love before the church. You do well to send them on in a manner worthy of God, for they began their journey for the sake of Christ, accepting no support from non-believers. Therefore, we ought to support such people so that we may become co-workers with the truth. What has Gaius done? Well, he's shown support and encouragement for a group of missionaries who've been travelling around the churches speaking the words of Jesus. Well, what has he done? He's offered them a baked potato, I guess, and the safer bed to sleep on. But John says that when we do that, we become co-workers with those who are speaking of Jesus. Therefore, he says, verse 8, we ought to support such people so that we may become co-workers with the truth. You see, as Gaius supported those who are speaking the gospel, he was joining a team. He was serving together with others. And when we serve together with others, hard jobs become easy. That job of the missionaries going from place to place, speaking of Jesus, becomes easy when they're loved and supported and encouraged. The task of inviting people to church is hard when we do it on our own, but when other people are doing it, other Christians are stepping up to the plate, it's so much easier. The job of running church services and serving at church is so hard when it's just one person battling away, but when we take our place within the teams, the service teams, life is so much easier and so much more enjoyable as well. If you've ever been the last person cleaning up in the kitchen after some event at church, which I know many of you have been, it's soul destroying, isn't it? And you find more and more things that are yet to be done. But when you're with a few other people working side by side, having a laugh, it's a joy. Join the team. If you're finding it hard to keep going as a Christian, remember you're not on your own. That following Jesus isn't an individual pursuit, it's a team game. Support each other, be part of a team. Because as you do so, whatever role you're doing, whether it's giving financially or through prayer or helping out on a service team, you are a co-worker with those who speak the words of Jesus. Join the team. If you want to crack on and keep going, says John, be a part of the team. Don't go it alone. You won't survive. Join the team. Join in with what everyone else is doing. And if you think there's more of that that you could do at this church, do talk to me. There's loads of ways that you could be more part of the team if you're not already. Crack on, says John. Stick to the roots. Join the team and find someone else to learn from. Sometimes it's really hard, isn't it, to know in practice what it means to follow Jesus faithfully. The great news is you don't have to sort of work that out in some sort of abstract way. The Bible tells us clearly, but even more than that, we can see people living it in their day-to-day lives. There are people we can follow who give us an example. Verse 11, beloved, says John, don't imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. And he gives us two examples of people. One who's not so good, Diotrephes. And one who is great, Demetrius. He doesn't tell us an awful lot about Demetrius and what he does that's so good, except that he's commended by others. But Diotrephes, we give him quite a good description of him. Have a look at verse 9 with me. It says, I've written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, he'll call attention to what he's doing in spreading. I will call attention to what he's doing in spreading false charges against us. And not content with those charges, he refuses to welcome the friends and even prevents those who want to do so and expels them from the church. What's wrong with Diotrephes? Why is he such a bad example to follow? Well, there are two big things here. Diotrephes is a person who likes to look for his own interests first, and isn't concerned with the needs of others. For Diotrephes, it's all about him. As he serves in church, it's all about his status. He wants the credits, likes the sound of his own voice. He wants people to see him as great and amazing. He wants all the credit. Serving in church, not about Jesus for Diotrephes. It's all about him. It's all about him. I don't know if you know this, but I injured my Achilles tendon about 3-4 weeks ago, and it's incredibly painful. I don't know what I did to upset it, but it's quite painful, and it's as though my Achilles tendon has said to itself, wait a minute, Which other part of the body is named after a Greek demigod? I can't think of one. I must be the best. Off I go. And he's decided since then not to cooperate with anything else my ankle is trying to do. You know, onomatopoeic words, they're words which sound like what they mean. Well, my Achilles tendon is chafing. That's an onomatopoeic word, isn't it? It's chafing, it's rubbing coarsely against everything it comes across because it wants to be on its own. Well, diatrephes, the person whose approach to church is, this is all about me, they'll always chafe against everyone else. They'll always cause upset wherever they go. They'll find it ever so hard to fit in and get along with others because their main objective is self-service. If you want to learn from someone, don't learn from someone like Diotrephes. It's all about him. Make sure it's not all about you as you serve in this local church. That's one thing that Diotrephes is rubbish at, is working alongside others. But perhaps even worse than that, he does not acknowledge our authority, says John. Well, that's not John being big-headed about himself and saying, well, isn't it awful that he doesn't respect me? John doesn't stand in his own authority. John stands in the authority of Jesus Christ as an eyewitness and as an apostle of the words of Jesus. Diotrephes doesn't accept the authority of the apostles' teaching. And that means if he was in our church today, he would be someone who doesn't accept the authority of the Bible, who doesn't want to obey the Bible in his day-to-day life, who doesn't want to live according to the example of Jesus. There are many such people in the church, and these are people not to learn from. Find someone to learn from, says John, not Diotrephes. So that means if you're struggling with prayer, you reckon you're finding prayer really hard, find someone at church you know is a great prayer. If you're not sure who that might be, let me tell you who it is. Find that person, get to know them, and learn from their example. If there's someone at church who's great at inviting their friends to things, if you don't know who that is, I can tell you who that is as well. Get to know them. Find out how they do it, how they get the confidence and courage to do that. If you want to get better at reading the Bible on a regular basis, again, I can tell you who's great at that. Get to know them. Learn from their example. If you want to get better at visiting people who are sick, and that's something we need to do much more of as a church, you probably already know who's great at doing that. Get to know them, learn from their example. And if you don't want to do any of those things, that's a real sign that you're flagging. So crack on, persevere with following Jesus Christ, says John. Don't flag. Crack on. Stick to the route. Join the team. Find someone to learn from. And may God be glorified as he builds his church in this place.